A bailed-out bank jumps to its feet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Could it be Goldman Sachs was on the dole just a few months ago? This morning, Goldman reported it did okay all by itself last quarter, earning almost $3.5 billion. That is a 33% increase over a year ago, and it includes the expense of repaying the bailout money. The bulk of the profits came from the trading business. For one thing, Goldman underwrote some of the stock offerings banks made as they tried to raise money and pay back the government. Also this morning, healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson reported second quarter profits fell 3.5%. That was not as bad as Wall Street's expectations. The government reports just a few minutes ago, retail sales rose more than expected in June, 0.6%, and part of it was a big jump in auto sales. Retailers have been doing backflips to get customers into stores, except, of course, the retailers who don't want you to go back to stores. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has this look at the e-tailers.
Increased competition among online stores has forced many e-retailers to slash their prices. That's hurt month-to-month sales growth, which has been negative since February. Some web retailers, like Parent Company, which sold children's products, have closed their virtual shutters. Analyst Sucharita Malpuru is with Forrester Research. She says the big online brands, such as Amazon.com, are holding up better than smaller e-retailers.
It's a very, very long tail, you know, of companies that are duking it out for the dollars that people are spending in the web channel.
Online sales are expected to grow by 11% this year to $156 billion. That's a far cry from the 18% jump in 2007. Experts say doorbuster specials may be luring some customers back to in-store shopping. Malpuru says companies that are doing best online are brick-and-mortar stores with a strong web presence, such as Macy's, Walmart, and Best Buy. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Yesterday, Wall Street anticipated a profitable Goldman Sachs. Banking stocks boomed, the Dow added 185 points, and closed at 8,331. Today, Asian markets also jumped 2-4%. Singapore said its economy grew for the first time in a year. Major European markets are up about 1%. Any bankers who have lost their bonuses? Well, they shouldn't despair. That luxury yacht may still be within range. This morning, Bloomberg reports on an Italian boat builder with an ideal product for the times, a yacht timeshare. Our yachting correspondent, Stephen Beard, is here. Morning, sir.
Ahoy there, Bill.
What does it cost to timeshare a yacht, and what do you get for your money?
Well, you get up to 5 non-consecutive weeks either in the Mediterranean or the Caribbean on a 130-foot luxury yacht, and that will cost you less than, if you were buying it outright, but still a fairly hefty $3 million.
When you say luxury yacht, will you help me picture that, Stephen?
Okay, well, the first one that they've actually sold the timeshares for, and it has launched, it's called Ocean Emerald. It has a crew of 7. It has 5 luxury suites that will accommodate 12 guests.
And how are these timeshares selling? Or I guess they like to call them fractional ownerships?
Yes, timeshare is a little bit too downmarket for this company. They're doing pretty well. They have built and sold the timeshares in 3 luxury yachts and have plans to build another 7.
Correspondent Stephen Beard, I'll see you there. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
American Public Media presents the Scratchpad blog. Host Scott Jagow keeps you updated on business news worth talking about. Available daily at marketplace.org.
Another drink, Isaac, please. There's a bunch of American companies anxiously awaiting word from the Department of Energy this month. They are competing for $2 billion in federal stimulus money aimed at the electric car battery business. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here is Sarah Gardner.
When General Motors chose a battery maker for the Chevy Volt, it picked a company few in this country had ever heard of. It was LG Chem, a big Korean manufacturer. Asia leads the world in advanced battery technology to power plug-in hybrids and electric cars. Charles Torito is with the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. He says the $2 billion in stimulus grants will help the U.S. catch up.
We want to make sure that we don't trade in our dependence on foreign sources of oil for a dependence on foreign sources of batteries.
Applicants for the stimulus funds range from Fortune 500 giants like Dow Chemical to startups like A123 in Boston. Sanjay Deshpande heads a consortium of mostly smaller companies applying for aid. It wants to use the money to build a factory for lithium-ion batteries, or cells.
The larger cells are not made in high enough volume to bring the costs down, and the capital investment is very high, and that's why we are seeking the government support.
Bringing battery costs down is essential to building the market for plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles. Right now, these batteries can cost tens of thousands of dollars, depending on their range. Mass production could cut that cost by half or more. But mass production requires a market, and it'll take more than federal stimulus funds to create that. Longtime electric car advocate David Goldstein.
The great unknown is the cost of gas. If the price of gasoline stays low, then we may have a problem because automobile manufacturers may not build enough of these electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles to reach that critical mass.
Officials at the Department of Energy will announce winners of the stimulus grants in the next few weeks. States with high unemployment rates like Kentucky and Michigan are eager to hear the results. Some battery companies have promised to locate factories in those states if they're awarded a grant. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Finally, a lot of businesses ask their employees to smile. A Japanese railway company has gotten serious about it. The company has introduced Smile Scan software that uses a camera and computer to evaluate facial expressions. Employees with low scores will see a display that says, "You still look too serious," or "Lift up your mouth corners." For a reminder, workers can print out an image of their best effort and carry that around, the better to replicate it. Now that is a forced smile. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.